far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we heat up the mics and tune our guitars to the 1987 OVA, Toy. Are you at me for watching that anime?
Yeah, it was pretty pointless, wasn't it?
It was what?
Well, it was kind of pointless, wasn't it? I mean, what was the plot about?
Alright. This is something I wanted to watch, and I was just like, well, I don't know what's in this. And I'm like, let me ask John and see if this is something we can both watch together and just take it for what it is. And, I mean, it has something of a plot in it, which I took notes on, and I'm kind of cheating through the internet, but...
Oh, good. So it does have a plot.
Yeah, it's... Alright, I guess we should tell the listeners out there what we're reviewing, because, like, this was something last minute, and I was just like, I'm in the mood to talk about something. And then I pulled up Toy, or Toei, or however... I think they just said Toy... in the anime, so I guess that's how it's said, or it's spelled TO/Y. And this is a manga series from 1985 to 87 with like 10 volumes. And then I guess as soon as it ended, like they made an OVA about it.
Yeah, this is one of these hyper-condensed things where you can't really tell what's going on, because, well, I mean, is this just one day in their life, or what is even it?
Well, it seems like it takes period over a series of time or something, like, okay, this is, like, I've heard about this, or I've known about this title, this anime, for, like, a couple of years now. And then it was only recently when I got the new Colony Drop zine, which I'm getting out. Freaking, what's his face wrote about it? Let me pull that up. Mike Toole, the guy who does the Mike Toole show on Anime News Network.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He wrote this whole article on... the latest issue of Colony Drop, and it's pretty interesting read regarding how he wrote about it. I mean, he basically summed it up as like, the anime itself is really effing weird product of its time. It does a good job capturing the mood of Japan in the 1980s, though maybe not as good as Megazone 2-3 Part 1.
They're not even close to the same.
No, they're definitely not. I mean, you could pretty much give this credit for animation and music, and that's a strength. I mean, pretty much the people who worked on this were like, we like music a lot, and this manga is about, I guess, being part of the music industry in Japan in the 80s, which is probably no different than it is today. And let's just make an OVA about it, which is based off the manga.
I thought that this was supposed to be, like, specifically about the 80s and how different it was or something.
Well...
But there's nothing that unique about it to me. I don't...
I actually, despite... I mean, 5 minutes in, your comment on the AIM chat was, this anime sucks. And I'm like, okay. Well, maybe I didn't pick the best thing for us to watch. No, I mean, I actually... And I think in its own way, like, depending on how you look at it, you can either really like this or you can absolutely hate it. Which, like, I actually like this because I guess it's for people who like music. And it's just kind of like... a product of its time, obviously, and they just made it just because.
I mean, it does connect
to the manga in some way, but I don't know anything about the manga.
I don't think the music in it is bad or anything. It's just,
no.
There's nothing to support it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, I only saw the first 5 minutes of this on YouTube at school, and I was like, this looks pretty cool. I better check this out. I mean, you know, the intro starts out with this girl running through town. Which, she's a half-cat ear person, which we find out later, which I thought they were, like, she had toy ears on. I'm like, okay, you know, toy ears, that's not bad. But no, this, she has ears that just appear out of nowhere, and then they just disappear. And I'm like, well, definitely this was part of a time when cat ears and cat girls were really cool.
I don't think it was ever really that cool, was it? I mean...
Ask anyone... who was anime fans back in, like, the 80s and 90s, and they will tell you that cat girls were really cool. I mean, freaking Dominion Tank Police had the Puma sisters, and I bet you, you know, the odds out there that was every guy's fantasy back in the 90s was to have those cat girls.
Wasn't there an anime company back then that had a cat girl as their logo? Like a company, like a licensing company here.
Shoot, I can't think. You're probably absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about here in the States, you're probably right about that. I mean, CPM had MD Geist.
What's the logo of Anime Eco?
They don't really have a logo. That was just like the title and the kanji behind it, or kanji. They've never been one to have a logo, and ADV was, they had, like, sort of a logo, but it wasn't, like, cat ears or anything. Hmm.
Does Media Blasters have a logo?
I think it's Anime Works is what you're thinking of.
Oh, I think you're right.
There's an anime girl on there, so maybe she's a cat girl. I got some Anime Works stuff, and there's usually, like, a girl attached to it, and I've never really paid attention.
That is what I'm thinking of. It's the Anime Works. I don't know if she's a cat girl or not, but she's from, like, the same... She looks like she's from an anime of about the same period as this.
90s-ish, maybe, I would say. I don't know. But... I mean, this anime does have something of a plot. I mean, again, I took down notes from what I can gather. And then I can read off what Mike Toole wrote about it, which, again, was a really interesting story. Or at least what I read about it. But, I mean, it starts out with, like, a band opening. And two dudes are fighting, apparently, which they kind of sort of explain. They explain stuff, but not very well. And... they kind of explain that, like, he showed up, or he's, like, a pop singer, which his name is, like, Yuji. And then Toei's the main guy in this. And, like, it shows, like, a scene of them punch or fighting, and then, like, at the same time, it cuts to, like, the band playing, or his band playing. But he's not up on stage, so that's, like, how did this event happen? And then they kind of sort of explain it afterwards about them getting gigs and stuff.
Yeah. And then the last 10 minutes or so are their concert. But most of it is just building up to that with random musical interludes.
Yeah, it was pretty much random musical interludes. I mean, they... it's just really a lot of cutting to, like, music scenes. And, like, they even had that one song they played, which was, like, carnival music, which probably was the worst thing in this whole anime. Even though you probably got, like, a bigger list than that.
What was it? The Up to Carnival or something? There was some sort of anguish on the screen.
It was like the... No, that was the... oh, crap. That was a festival, I think. Oh, it was the...
up-to-date carnival. I just checked in the chat. But they spelled 2 T-U.
Yeah, and they had, like, it was within syllables.
Yeah, they had dashes in there, too, I think.
Yeah, that was it. I thought it took... Yeah, we discussed it in the chat, and I thought I took notes on it. Oh, well. But, I mean, basically, like, there's... The way Mike Toole wrote it was, like, the girl in, like, the big, poofy, like, business executive, like, power suit thing is obviously a music executive. And her goal is to try to make Toya a star and break up the band Gasp. G-A-S-P, all in capital letters, because this is the 80s. It's kind of like you can take a syllable out of the dictionary and just turn it into a band name. Like, I would like to call a band Them. So, like, hey, have you heard of Them?
I guess it makes it easy to remember.
You'd be like, no, wait, who? And I'm like, no, not who, Them. So you got this constant Abbott and Costello thing. Like, you might as well make your name a band called Them. Like, if you're a musician listening to this podcast, call your band Them in capital letters. And then people will totally talk about it.
What if they call themselves Gasp?
Who's popular for some reason?
What if they call themselves Gasp? Will that work?
I mean, as long as Gasp isn't a real band name, then that should be okay. I mean, the freaking ska band Safe Ferris, that name came from the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When they wrote it up on the water tower, that's where they got the idea from.
Oh.
And I do like that ska band, and then Monica, I think her last name was Powell, broke it up or something. I don't know. I just know this stuff. I know, regarding music, I know it's usually ska bands and other stuff in the 90s. I guess I gravitated to this because I work sound at my church and I know stuff about sound and I talk to people who are like play musical instruments and they're usually part of bands. I helped a friend out in a band back in, like, you know, I got out of high school. That was a local band in Cary, North Carolina. So, you know, I've been around this stuff. So I guess this anime has my attention. I can't hate it as much as, like, say you do, because that's how I look at this. It's like, oh, you know, it's, you know, band drama, basically, and, you know, a 55-minute OVA. I mean, like, and if you're a musician, you might get something out of this like that. Whereas, for somebody like you, John, probably not so much.
Yeah, I never played in a band or anything, so...
Yeah, I didn't know, like, if you're very musically inclined, because I figured, oh, I mean, we don't really talk about music stuff on the AIM chat. It's usually how it's been the past while is, like, you know, we would talk about anime schedules. So, like, if there's an anime about, like, schedule nerds, you would probably totally about that, you and Ishtar.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how that would make one, though. I mean, the thing is, these are such mundane topics. I don't know if they can even carry an anime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, for, like, if they made an anime about people that are, like, schedule people, or, like, they, like, they're just OCD about, like, numbers and crap, which it's gonna happen eventually, and I don't even know how well that's gonna be, but it's gonna be for that group of people that are, like, the characters on there is basically a mirror image of how they act on the internet.
Well, have you heard of Eden of the East?
No, I haven't seen Eden of the East yet.
Oh, well, a lot of the characters in that are nerds. Like, the neat term, I think that came from that.
Oh, not employed, educated, or trained? Yeah.
Well, they're always talking about, there's all these nerds that, I don't want to summarize the whole anime, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the stuff about, like, I guess, going back to this thing's story, since it sort of has one, it's basically... This executive person is trying to break up Toy's band Gasp, and I guess trying to make him a pop star because that's just how the music industry works in Japan in the 80s and even now, the way I understand it. And she's it's apparently, I think some people like this. I think some guy compared her on the internet to, like, somebody he used to know who was, like, a chain-smoking Asian woman. Because, like, in this person's character constantly has a cigarette in her mouth the entire time. Either in her mouth or, like, between her fingers.
Yeah. I mean, none of the characters really appear that much because it's so short, but she does have a cigarette in every scene.
It focuses mostly on, like, the cat girl and some of the band members. I mean, there's a part where Okay, I'm looking at notes, so that made me sound stupid. All right, I mean, there's a apparently, I guess he has like another girl that lives with him, like along with like the cat girl person, and like his apartment which they have like no furniture in whatsoever because they're band people, so they can only afford the really high tech equipment stuff, but just no furniture to put it on.
They don't have much furniture in this.
I didn't see anything in his apartment. It was just like the sound people had furniture, and that was about it. Bad crap. Well, no, yeah. So, anyways, like I think that other girl that was like she was the one that it was like the beginning. She had a shower scene because she was in like some like weird like girder like lingerie girder thing, and she comes home and she was trying to like sleep with Toy, and then there's like the cat girl with him. And it's like, okay, and then they just are just roommates for some reason. It's like Three's Company or some crap.
Yeah, what was that? Like, why is the cat girl there? No one explains why she's a cat or anything.
Yeah, again, it's like something like, it's not important, you don't need to know unless you read the manga, probably. But I guess the other girl was his cousin or something.
I wonder if the manga's even translated.
I doubt it, to be honest. I haven't checked if there's a fan translation of this. There's only 10 volumes, so I guess it can't be a daunting task for someone to translate. But I don't know. But like regarding this other girl that lives there, like I've only seen her in two outfits. The outfit in the beginning, or the lingerie outfit, and then obviously she walks around the apartment with like an apron on. And nothing underneath that. So, like, I'm inclined to unless she's got, like, she had something covering her butt, but there was, like, nothing on her backside. So I'm like, does she just work and then stay in the kitchen all day, or just wearing an apron is really that comfortable at home? I don't know.
Yeah, since we only see her a couple times, you just have to, like, assume these things.
Yeah, again, it's just like, hey, that's just what's in this, and that's all you need to know. They brought up a festival, which you mentioned that in the chat. What did you call it specifically?
Oh, I think it's called Tanabata Night. It happens in the summer in Japan. I went there in 2007, and they had that festival when I was there. They have masks out in the street and everything, and those hanging lanterns and everything, like they showed in the anime here, and people write wishes and put them in the water as well. So I guess this anime is set in the summer, or at least that scene of it was.
Yeah, well, they had the concert at the end of this was like, they had an opening day of like August 26th, so it was during the summer. And like, I'm not sure like what time before that, I guess, like before the actual ending of it, but that was like the date that they had, that I guess like the main character's band Gasp was supposed to pay with his Yuji guy that he decked in the face in the beginning. And again, they don't really explain why they hate each other. They just kind of do. So that was like a set date on that. But also, like, regarding the festival, did you notice like Mario Brothers' face and like Kamen Rider stuff when you were there?
Oh yeah. They still do that kind of licensed mask, that kind of thing.
Okay, so this is actually licensed products they sell there.
I think so, yeah.
Or are they just really good quality bootlegs?
No, I don't think it's bootleg, because it's very prominent. I think that they must make a lot of money off this festival. That's probably why they do it. Selling all their masks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of other trinkets out there being sold, too.
Yeah, because the characters came back from this festival, and like the other girl just like knocked the crap out of the cat girl's bag, and then the fish fell, and then she goes to a corner and they're like, oh great, she's gonna eat the fish, and she's like, no, I'm just kidding, and I'm like, what's your purpose as a cat girl again?
Yeah, I think fish is like glass just breaks, and then she's about to eat it, and then they just move on.
Yeah. I don't see her purpose as, like, a cat girl. I mean, like, I don't even see her purpose as a character. She just didn't have to be there.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I think it was just there back then everyone was going for that whole moe aspect, and they just have to have that annoying character in their animes. I don't even know if this person's in the manga or not. So.
What was even their name? Do we know any of these characters' names?
I just got the main people. They didn't really state names as much in this. All I know is, like, Toig and Yuji something, because he was, like, the pop singer, which he was, like, I guess, like, the Ricky Martin of the time with his black shades and, you know, sports jacket and dark shirt, because that's what cool guys like him wear, as they wear their shades at night, because you don't want to mess with the guys, with the guy in the shades alone. You know what song I'm talking about? Probably not.
Which song?
I wear my sunglasses at night, but Corey Hart?
I wasn't aware.
How are you not aware of that song, man?
What year is it from?
80-something. 5, 6, 7, one of those years.
Probably the same year this came out. Is this from 87?
Yeah, this was 87. According to Wikipedia. Yeah, this did come out in 87. Or, like, according to Wikipedia, like, October the 1st. Which I thought might have come out earlier because of that, like, set band, like, show date. And I'm like, oh, it would have been cool if they released an anime the same day of the date they had in this anime, but I guess not. I mean, really, there's really nothing much to talk about except for the ending where, like, you know, I like the cultural significance between the two fans of the band members, between, like, Gasp and, like, Yoji. Where, like, Yoji has all the girls, so clearly he's the Ricky Martin of that era, or, like, the George Michael or something. And, or the Corey Hart. We should just stick with Corey Hart. And then, like, you've got the Gasp fans, which is, like, the heavy metal punk bands. And, like, it was all... They canceled Gasp show because it was the business lady's decision to try to break them up, I guess. That was the way I understood it. And, like, so then, like, they couldn't... Like, I guess all the Gasp fans just, like, went to the show anyways because they paid for their ticket. And so, like, you see shots of them and everyone's dancing around them and they're just, like, completely miserable. They're like, great, pop music sucks, I want my metal or my pop rock, whatever this genre is, or, you know, Japanese funk or something.
Is this, like, supposed to be Japanese pop new wave or something, since it's 80s?
I think it actually is Japanese new wave, because it's, I mean, there's funk music, or Japanese funk, that was big in the 80s. Because this is crap I listen to on a daily basis. And then, like, the stuff in this, which is by different bands, freaking, like, it's, like, Psy S, and then there's, like, Barbie Boys. And these are just names that I know of, and I kind of sort of know a couple of their songs. But it's all not bad stuff. Because even you said you really like the music in this, which is one of the strong points. Because it is based on music, or the love of music.
Yeah, the anime is all about music. That's what the whole point of it is.
The animation, I mean, what did you think of the animation? I mean, it was really fluid in everything that they did, even if it, you know, again, it just didn't really serve a purpose other than just to look cool and what animators can do.
Yeah, I thought it looked about the same as most 80s OVAs do. I mean, it doesn't look anything like modern animation, but in a way that's good, you know, it's got its own unique look.
Yeah, this was kind of the time before, like, the big eyes stereotypical anime we see today hit, because, you know, back in the 80s, the OVAs, everything was experimental, so this is one of those things they wanted to experiment with and see what they can make.
Yeah, and the coloring looks a lot different, you know, there's no CGI or anything, it's the old school style of anime.
There really wasn't a point to use CGI back in the 80s. I mean, like, other than, like, that GoGo 13 helicopter scene in the movie, which came out a few years before this.
Yeah, there's only a few that used it before this.
Well, that and Lensman.
Oh, yeah. But those are, like, well, Lensman, anyway, is sci-fi. So it makes sense that we use CGI.
Yeah, well, they had a bigger budget to use it on, so...
Yeah, and they're trained to be like Star Wars, so, you know, they have to do impressive visuals.
Yeah. But, I mean, the OVA pretty much ends with, like, Toy was able to get his band together, and they played at some, like, you know, other outdoor auditorium, like next door to the main concert that's happening. So then everyone heard their music and just darted out of there, which was like half the attendance audience of this of Yuji or Yoji. And then like people were going to other bars and like, yeah, man, Gasp is playing. We got to go check this out. And then everyone comes together and congregates for the love of Gasp and like all the great music they play, which is basically performed by Psy-S. Which, again, making this experimental, it was kind of weird when, like, they wouldn't be, like, playing, like, I guess, like, the music will still be playing in the background, like, they're playing with it. And, like, when the one bandmate came up, like, they're still playing the song and singing, but everyone is just, like, slowing down, like, hey, this guy is here. And then, like, the music finally, like, sort of cuts out when, like, Toy throws his the guy's bass guitar at him. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to play now because I'm back in the band. I'm not going to leave it now. And the music kicks up, which I thought was kind of weird, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was near the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess the credits are just some girl standing there the whole time, and then eventually she's walking with a guy.
Yeah, again, this was just something fun to watch, and I was just like, hey, I want to check this out. John, you up for it? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then 5 minutes in kind of gave me my answer. But I still enjoyed this.
It's only a short anime anyway. It's not too long.
Yeah, it's 55 minutes with credits. I mean, like, in the end ends with, like, I don't know. It was a cool thing for the girl. The girl was always with the freaking band. Like, you think she's not there, and then all of a sudden she's like, hey, guys, hey, what are we up to, huh? Meow. Like, shut up!
There's only a sub of this, right? There's no dub.
Funny you mentioned the dub. Well, the ending, I'll just mention the ending real quick, but she basically, like, does, like, a gunfire thing with her fingers, because that was a cool Yu Yu Hakusho thing to do back then.
Oh,
and then
Toy,
like, pretends he got shot, and then does a stage dive off of it, off the stage. And then it just says, end. And I'm not even sure people caught him or mugged him, but
yeah, it just ends, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's funny you mentioned that there was a dub for this, because in the article that Mike Toole wrote about this, that he first, he goes in this whole thing about what's USA Network had in the 80s called oh crap, what was it called? And I'm looking up to the book. Okay, it's called Night Flight. It's basically sort of this like late night USA Network that started like in the early 80s, and they just showed, like, you know, movies and, you know, other crazy stuff. But they also, like, later they showed animation.
They showed a dubbed toku show at one point, I think.
Yeah, it was Dynaman. That's according to this book. Maybe Night Flight was the... No, they have something called... but the point was like, you know, Mike Toole, his history on this... Ah, great, I don't need to read and talk, because I'm like... Okay, so the story with this was that Mike Toole was like 13 or something, and he'd be watching this stuff late at night, because it only came out, like, you know, after midnight or something on USA Network. And the way he tells the story was the fact, because he finally gets into it, where he heard of this anime called Toy Wire. He first heard of it like in 1995, supposedly, and because like some friend of his had this on VHS on the shelf, and he was always curious about like what it was for years. And then apparently, like, he finally saw it, like, a couple years, like, earlier, or a couple years ago. And he said his jaw dropped in shock because he realized he saw this before, but it was on Night Fright, or Flight. And the reason why was the fact that he saw this dub back in 1988. And
Who dubbed it?
That's the thing. He doesn't know. There's no information on this, but he swears up and down that there's a dub for this.
That's weird. Do they dub the music, too?
According to him, he said that the music stayed the same.
Oh. So it's not like the Bubblegum Crisis dub or anything?
No, nothing like that. I think he mentioned that it was actually like kind of a... The way I read it... he reads that he saw this in 2007, actually.
Well, was it a straight dub or a parody dub? Because Dynaman was a parody dub, I think.
I think this is a straight dub because, like, it seems like the way he wrote it was how the characters interacted with each other. It seemed like something out of, like, a, you know, like a streamlined anime or something. And because it just seemed like,
You think Streamline did it?
Well, there's nothing online regarding who did this dub, but he swears up and down there's a dub for it.
But does he suspect that Streamline is behind it, since it sounds like them?
No, he didn't say that. He goes to say that it was dubbed, but not in the way we think of anime dubs. All overwrite and stilted or flatter and weird. Instead, this was naturalistic, sometimes almost too casual. The title character had a pleasingly sardonic voice, and I specifically remember rival Yoji Chinling saying, "You got a temper, my friend," as he pointed him in the pool hall. The songs were not dubbed, and I found them fascinating, so like our pop music, yet so different. And of course, like back then, like this was whoever announced Night Fright, he writes the name of that too. Like basically, I'm promoting this article in the Colony Drop zine that everyone should just go ahead and buy right now instead of listening to our podcast. Because this is more interesting than what we have to say about this anime. But pretty much, yeah, I mean, he goes on to say that it was broken up by music videos and stuff, but, like, he didn't think about recording this as a kid. And it's kind of one of those things that, like, you know, he was one of the first animes, I guess, he ever saw. And then now that he saw, like, a subtitle version, like, back in 2007 or something, he was just like, holy crap, I've seen this before. And, like, if you try to look this up online regarding a dub, there's nothing listed about it. And I think if there was a dub for this, it would probably be on Baka BT by now already. And this was done, I mean, back then this was, like, USA Network was owned by NBC, so he believes, like, the dub for this is locked up in some NBC vault. Like, you know, just piling dust somewhere that no one knows about.
Could be.
But yeah, for all we know, it could be. So that's kind of like, you know, with that story, like, I know, like, with Mike Toole, he'll look at this as something super interesting. And, you know, like, this is one of his, like, lost artifacts of something you first see of anime. Even if you've seen stuff that's way better than this, which you can probably contest to.
Okay, so the best hope for this dub, I guess, is just that somebody taped it off USA on VHS, huh?
At this point, yes. I would have to base it on that.
Because it never got a home video release?
No, I don't think this never got a home video release. It never even got... No one's ever claimed it over here in the States. And I think if this was to come over, clearly, you know, the company I'm thinking of, Discotech, would have to put it over here. And if they put it over here, they're going to try to find a way to get this dub over here. And I bet you if they pick up this Colony Drop zine and read about what Mike Toole said about this, like, crap, there's a dub of this. We got to find it right now. Or I don't know. Even if NBC does have it, like, I don't know how hard it's going to be to try to get it. Unless some collector out there has this and does not realize it.
Well, it all depends on who did the dub, probably.
Yeah, or the company who did it, so maybe they might have it, or, you know, who knows if they're still around. Hopefully, if this ever gets released in the States, I'll definitely pick it up, and hopefully there'll be a dub with it, because I like to hear it. And again, I personally didn't really hate this at all. I liked it. But again, it's not for everyone. Like, I wouldn't even know... Like, I'm thinking, since it has to do with music, like, I'm not sure if this is, like, something you can show a musician or somebody who knows music. It's like, I don't know. I wonder if there's anime out there that I might like. And I don't know if they would like this or not.
I think it probably just depend on how much they like the specific kind of music in the anime, you know?
That's true, too. I mean, it's kind of... I mean, regarding music in Japan... I mean, there's, you know, this kind of sort of tackles or looks at it from a point regarding, like, how people in music in the music industry in Japan kind of rise up and fall all the time. Because, you know, people that are, like, you know, band members, they don't really last that long. And, like, I mean, can you think of, there's only on the, like, between maybe my two hands, bands that have been in anime openings or even artists are still around to this day.
Oh, From what years? I mean, I'm sure there's, like, current anime artists that are still around.
Let's say the past three decades since the 80s. I mean, I can think of a handful that are that still might be out there.
What about the Pillows? Are they still out there?
See, I'm not even sure, because, like, you know, they did music for Fooly Cooly, and I think they might still be around, but they're not as big. They're not as big as, like, you know, freaking TM. I guess TM Revolution is still maybe big. Yoko Kanno is always going to be around. I mean, they got her at Otakon this weekend. So, you know, there you have it. And TM Revolution.
She's in America right now?
Yeah, she's at Otakon playing, I'm sure. Cool. I think she's got like a Sunday. It's like a Sunday concert. That would be cool to see. I mean, think of all like the people who did openings for the Gundam series, like in the 80s and 90s. Where are they at now? I mean, you think about the artist who did, like, the Victory Gundam music.
Who is it that did Anime Denai?
I'm not sure. I would think it might be a band that did that.
And then there
was bands that did, like, Victory Gundam opening themes, too, which I love the Victory Gundam opening themes. My favorite Gundam theme.
I think I'm just doomed to this happening over and over tonight.
Unless you want to, like, unplug your mic and replug it back in.
Well, it's an internal mic on the computer.
Oh.
It's not like DAFs where... Well, it's got different problems from DAFs, I guess.
I don't know what's up with DAF's mic, except I just don't think he has a mic. He's like, I'm talking right into it, and, like, you can barely hear a difference in, like, his tone sometimes. Who knows?
Well, I think we've talked about this thing pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, I mean, 40 minutes is talking a little bit too long on Toy. I don't know how anime fans out there, the true otaku elitist, would correct me on that. Or I wouldn't say elitist, I would say a weeaboo-ist.
Isn't that how they say it in the anime?
They said toy.
Yeah, toy.
But I would figure, I think when Mike Toole wrote about this, he said like the girl that was hosting Night Flight was saying 2Y.
They probably just didn't know how to say it.
So, like, how are you gonna supposed to know if it was right or not?
Well, that's how you'd think it if you didn't know anything about, like, Japanese vowels.
When I first saw this, it was, like, I figured, like, when I first looked at it, it was, like, toy or something. I mean, they just kept saying toy. Which is still two vowels of the language, so... I don't know, unless you want to talk about something else, like how you're... watching of other mech shows are coming along. Just to
fill space. Well, I've been watching Ideon and Dogrim and Leisner and Gao Gai Gar, and I'm at episode 22 of those. I think finish. There's only 6 episodes left of Leisner that have been subbed. There's about 12 episodes that M-Sub still hasn't gotten to.
And who knows when they ever will get around to those.
Yeah, it could take a while, because they started this years ago.
They started it over 2 years ago, actually, or 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
As much as I know, and... I mean, they haven't posted anything on Leisner, or anything on their site since, like, April, I think.
Yeah, so the plan for when we review these is that I'll just watch the OVA that summarizes the last episodes, since that's been subbed.
Yeah, I really like the OVA. Like, it's kind of supernatural-ish. And I still need to watch some of the TV series of Leisner that I haven't seen past, I think it was like 23 or 24. Because that's kind of like when, like, if you watch the first OVA, that's kind of like where that covers up to. Like, I haven't seen the first OVA, but I don't know if I want to watch it because, like, I'm sure I might as well just do it and see what they capped in there, so... Just to be curious.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it either. I don't know. If I have time, I might.
Yeah, I mean, I need to kind of refresh on Leisner from the other OVAs because it's been... whenever they released those, which might have been, I think last year.
So you saw all the episodes 1 through 24?
Yeah, that sounds about right. What do you remember seeing last? Like, what happened in episode 22?
Well, AG kept talking to the robot because he thought that it had some second mode or something.
Oh, his Lasner unit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the main AI, and then it has some second AI that's evil or something, and he spent the whole episode arguing with it, and then it turns out that the Earthlings and the Grudosians have the same ancestor or something. It's like the same plot twist as in Mars of Destruction, where it turns out the alien race and the humans are the same.
You know, oh crap, you know, I was thinking, you want to cover Mars of Destruction real quick? I mean, there's nothing really to cover about it.
Well, we could just say that we watched this terrible anime called Mars of Destruction. It's the lowest rated anime on my anime list, and it's made as a video game tie-in. It's only a 20-minute OVA, but it's totally without plot. I mean, I guess it has a plot, but it starts out with these Martian things that are attacking these women, and one of the main girls gets her head shot off within 2 minutes of the thing starting.
No, what was great was the fact that, like, the freaking, like, they bring the corpse back to the hospital, and the doctor's like, yeah, I think she's totally gone, and then she's covered with the body, and you're like, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, he said something like, there's nothing science can do for this one. Or it's like, yeah, you don't say. And then the main character, he had some sort of issue with his father making him pilot the robot or something. It's blatantly ripped out of Evangelion.
No, it's not. There's nothing to do with Evangelion at all. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe it was. Who cares? This thing sucks. It was a 20-minute little OVA thing to tie in, like, a video game. Maybe it's at a bargain bin buried underneath a basket in, like, Japan somewhere, so.
And thankfully nobody brought it over here. I think somebody actually fan-subbed this. I don't know why.
It was on, wait, how did we watch it? Was it on YouTube?
Uh-huh.
Oh, crap, yeah, it was. Which means it's probably on Baka BT. And other people have talked about this. Actually, come to think of it, that podcast that we're supposed to be on to talk about Goku Midnight Eye, their first review was Mars of Destruction.
Oh, really? When are we doing that anyway?
It's supposed to be next Thursday, but he hasn't really given me a solid time because he was just like, yeah, 12 o'clock Pacific works for me. And I'm just like, hey, I'm going to be working all day that day. Can we push to like maybe 6, 7 o'clock that night? And he's supposed to be talking to his other co-host about it, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. But we'll see. And I messaged him, or I wrote a message on the Fast Karate forum, so he should get back to us on that.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Mars of Destruction, it's a lot of speed lines, and there's like a suit-up mode for, like, I thought it was like part Guyver at one point, but I mean, it kind of sort of is, really. And I don't know, I'd rather watch Toei any day over Mars of Destruction, and that's my review. Because at least Toei has animation and great character designs and good music to boot, even if the plot makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I didn't really like either one, but I guess Toei is better. It's hard to be worse than Mars of Destruction.
Yeah, I'm putting Toei up on a pedestal, and I don't know if people are going to agree with me on that. Probably not, but I couldn't care less. I don't know, I just liked it because it was just really interesting, and whatever. According to Skype, 48 minutes, I think is long enough to talk about both those anime series. So, and this doesn't need to be super long.
Yeah, I mean, It's the same length as the OVA.
What do you have for final remarks, John?
Well, the audio is still out, but if you can hear me... Hold on. Yeah, can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, now I can hear me too. Let me do a Love That Goku tweet as usual. Soon I will be uploading a how-to document on how to make a grappling dummy that looks like Captain Ginyu. Keep an eye out for it on the web.
Wait, what does it mean, grappling dummy?
I don't know, but he keeps talking about them lately. There was another one where he said, I have fashioned a grappling dummy out of several trash bags and the stuffing from my uncle's mattress, and I have been kicking its ass all night. I wish he'd post a Vine of it. And then
everything he posts is like, I beat the crap out of this coffee can. That's just like thunk.
Yeah, it's so weak. And this one's the best. I have registered for 24 Dragon Ball Z web forums, and currently I am not banned from only 2 of them. Apparently, they don't appreciate him.
Well, he hasn't been banned yet, or he's been banned already.
He was banned on 22 out of the 24 forums.
Good freaking lord.
Yeah. He probably kept threatening to beat people up.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know how he went on there unless he's like, I'm Love That Goku, I'm Christian, respect me because I'm Ultimate DBZ fanboy number one, Quantum Leap sucks, I have DBZ soda cans I spent all money everywhere on, and I can punch you really, really hard. And I hope pretty he much. Says that in every opening post on these DBZ forums. I didn't even think there was 24 of those out there.
Oh, yeah, there's so many DBZ fans. I'm sure he's joined all the minor ones and everything.
That's funny how there's like, it wouldn't surprise me if there's like 5 or 6 dedicated DBZ like forums that are strictly dedicated to Dragon Ball Z, but like that, you mentioned 24 and he's been kicked out of 22. That says a lot.
Yeah, he probably even gets kicked out of like the obscure and vision free ones and everything.
Oh, yeah. Then again, like, 10 years ago, there was probably, like, 24,000 DBZ forums.
Yeah, I'm sure just some keep, of them are just obsolete keep that now. In mind. Yeah, in the early days of the internet, I'm sure that was the big thing to do, make a DBZ forum.
But I will tell you this, there was more Angel Fire and Netscape DBZ fan sites than there were forums.
And, what was the other one? Tripod? People used to host.
Oh yeah, Tripod. That was it. Some of those still exist. Like if you go on the old Anime Turnpike, like I was looking up those old Evangelion like websites, and granted, 95% of them don't work. But even, the ones that do are really interesting.
Even GeoCities, there is a website that if you enter a GeoCities URL, it'll look up like an archive of it. So you can still nice. Get to some of them.
Okay. I didn't know GeoCities did archives of stuff. Like, I just know they just disappeared, too. Or I think they actually said, that, like, yeah, we're not going to exist anymore. And that was, like, 2007, I think.
Yeah.
Or was it... The Tripod, I think, just disappeared. And then Netscape was just, like, we're out, peace. We're not going to tell anyone anything. Remember, like, GeoCities was, like, the last one, and everyone was, like, clinging on to hope how long they're going to last. And, like, okay, they called it. I better, like, archive everything I have from this old Gundam Wing site I made.
Oh, what year did you make that? When it was on Toonami?
No, this is just, like, the standard Gundam Wing fan. Surprisingly, there's one fan site that still exists, and that's Death by Gundam, which apparently a friend of mine that I'm still with, him and his friends made Gundam Wing MS Paint comics for that site. I thought I showed it to you guys once. And his friend, and I guess he's still technically my friend, like, wrote all the scripts and stuff. And, like, all the spelling is terrible. Like, it'd be like, to be continued. It'd be like, to be continued or something.
I bet he's real glad that those are still around.
I... apparently, I think my friend showed me this. It's like, this still exists? We did this in middle school. This was like 2002 or 2001 or something. I don't know. Was that it for love That Goku?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'll end it with, don't mess around with the guy in Shades of 2Y or Toy.
Is that going to be the closing theme too?
That is going to be the closing theme. Cause you got it made with the guy in his Shades of Toy. Go ahead and end this, cause this is about to get really stupid.
What I was gonna say is, it happened again.
Write down your notes. Don't know what you're gonna say.